I do always, it's a privilege to be asked to share the word. And then he is here seated, and I'm still privileged to share. Hallelujah. You know, someone asked, or I asked myself a few years ago, what will I say if Jesus were to be seated in the congregation? What will I say to the congregation? You know, it's something that, it's a thought that I had to really dwell on, and it helped reset my perspective. You know, you can't share mysteries before Jesus now, can you? Jesus is in the congregation, and he's here actually, you know. But you know, sometimes we relate more when the person is physical, you know. Somebody told me of an experience of how a particular geo of a ministry visited Jos, and then his state pastor just started miscuing before the geo. I don't know whether it was the overwhelming awesomeness of the geo's presence. You know, your geo can be so awesome that his awesomeness overwhelms. And instead of the state pastor to behave, he just started making mistakes. You know, with our pastor, it's not like that. You know, when you are in his presence, you are comfortable. You are not trying to impress or not to impress. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you so much, Pastor, for this opportunity and privilege. I have a word for someone just before I get into my thoughts or into the scripture this evening. And it's about obedience. As I, you know, Pastor had hinted me that I'll be sharing this evening. And usually what I do is I don't just come and share. I pray about the service or the meeting. I pray about the meeting. I meditate. I want to know what exactly. I mean, there are many things you can talk about, but then sometimes, or most times, you want to be exact at what the Holy Ghost will have you say. And then when I prepare prayerfully, I meditate and project into the meeting. You know, a lot of times we determine how the meeting goes. A lot of times, when I say we determine, we give allowance to the Spirit, to God's Spirit at work in us. You know, we don't resist the Holy Ghost. That's what I mean. So as I prepared for this service, I put some words down that God will have someone hear. It says, the proof of obedience is not necessarily results. The proof of obedience to God is not necessarily results. So don't be held bound in what people call fear of the unknown or fear of failure. I didn't obey God because I was afraid to fear. I mean, I was afraid to fail. Who told you you are going to fail? And what is your definition of failure? So the proof of obedience is not necessarily results. God says the proof of obedience is the obedience in itself. I don't know if you got that. The proof of obedience is not that you got result, is that you obeyed. Just obey. Leave Abraham, leave your kindred, leave your family, come out of them and all that to a place I will show you. God didn't even give him an address, so to speak. And then he obeyed. He left. To a place I will show you. Praise the Lord. So, the proof of obedience is the obedience itself. That you just obey God is the proof of obedience, whether there is result or not. So don't be held back. Don't be held bound with what people call fear of the unknown. Are you getting it? God is leading you to start a school. Pull yourself together and begin to put things in place to start the school. Don't be scared about the resources. Don't be scared about whether the school will succeed or not. That should not be your worry or your concern. If God is leading you to so do, get into it. Go show yourselves to the priests. And on their way, they discovered they were healed. They didn't even get to the priests. Praise the Lord. So that is for someone here this evening. To obey is better than giving excuses. To obey is better than sacrifice or justifying why you didn't obey. I mean, obedience to God can be, obedience to God can be without hindrance, can be smooth, you know? And you know, obeying God has, it has nothing to do with being dramatic. You don't have to see a smoke or see fire or see thunder before you respond or obey God. Just obey. Just obey. Just obey. God said to me a few years ago, he said, I'm sending you to Jos to go strengthen the brethren. That was the first line of instruction. That was like 7 years back. And I started gathering things to face Jos. He took my wife to tap me that, oh boy, where did they go? You get family now. You not go just go leave us like that. So I had to like say, God, when? I didn't even remember to ask him when. Is it now or later? And then as I prayed about it, I discovered that he was not telling me to go at that immediate material time. He said, I'm sending you to Jos to go strengthen the brethren. And here I am in Jos. When the time came, I responded. And when I landed, I said, God, I don't reach Jos, so where the brethren, where you want make I strengthen? He said, go everywhere. Everywhere you go, he said, explain the word and pray for the sick. And then I started looking for the sick everywhere. I don't work out. This just, I don't try small. You know, we were driving, was it yesterday or the day before? And my wife, we're coming somewhere around, is it British or Rayfield? And then we encountered some traffic on the way. People were turning back. Me too, I just turned back, just navigated. My wife was wondering, we just appeared at almost Rayfield, or I say around British. I say, oh boy, you don't know road, though. She just they drive, like say we did Lagos. I say, you know, go give me knock for head. I've been here since 2018. If I know no road, waiting I can't know. But the reality. The reality is that I got to know the places I've known now because of disobedience. Coach is not here. You know, me and Coach, we were tag team. That guy, man. We went on evangelism everywhere looking for the sick. And he knew a lot of them. And of course, I started. I mean, God just connected me to the right person in obedience. I started a fellowship in my living room, a Bible study and prayer group. And then we went everywhere to evangelize. He will ask, by the time, you know, the topography of Jos. I didn't realize I wasn't in Lagos. But I remember God told me, buy sneakers. I bought two sneakers. I didn't know why I was buying it, but I bought them. You remember, we looked for, you know, a particular sneakers in Lagos. I wanted an original one. So we went and, you know, I don't know, say not to waka. Those sneakers don't cut for so now, you know. Coach will say, Pastor, are you tired? When he noticed that I'm two steps behind and I'm panting. So I will control my breath like choir people. I go hold my breath. I say, no, I'm not tired. How can me that God asked to come to just say I'm tired when the person I met here is ready to take me around? I mean, we went everywhere. I laid my hands on the sick. Laid my hands on people that were dying. You know, when I look back now, it's amazing. The life of faith is amazing. I remember, the woman is late now. I remember we entered a house and everyone was avoiding the woman. I don't even know her ailment. It's in retrospect now that I'm sure her ailment was infectious or contagious, because she was almost like bones. And when I came in, even Coach stayed outside. He told me she is inside. When I told her I'm here on God's instruction, she looked at me with one kind eye. Say, you bold, though. Even when they came to give her stuffs, they just dropped it away. And I held her hands. I didn't fear what, it didn't even enter my mind that what was wrong with her, I could just contact it and carry it home. And I remember that very day. I got home. As I left, my mind told me, wash your hand though before you chop. And you reach out. As I was entering home, I just headed to the kitchen. The first snack I saw, I started eating before I washed my hands. Don't say yeah. It's the life of faith. It's the life of faith, you know. And it's a beautiful life. Like I said on Sunday, Christianity is a beautiful life. Hallelujah. So that word is for someone, you know. The proof of obedience is the obedience itself. Just obey God. This God is not difficult. And like I said on Sunday, to what end? All that pastor has been trying to explain to us and unveil to us is the goodness and the simplicity of this God. That you can behold him. You can behold him without fear. You can behold him. Somebody told me in Lagos, a friend, when I told him that finally myself and my family were relocating to Jos this last December. He said to me, he said, Lekon, you try, you. I born again too. But I've been running to serve God on this dimension. Because something just tells me if I enter the inner courts, he will make demands of me that I cannot obey. I said, no. No. And you know, for me, I felt for him. He was being sincere. But I felt for him. Because I understood that he has not known that God. If you know God as a father, if you know him as a father, you won't make such statements. You won't. You won't. You know him as a father, then you know him as Lord. When he says, son, get up, let's go, you are ready. Praise God. And that's my prayer for everyone here. I'm also still learning. I'm learning and growing and developing, you know, in that path, you know. Learning and developing in that direction also. We grow in these things. We grow in these things. I've said it before, and I got that from the late Kenneth Hagin from one of his books. He said, when you find light, don't look for another light. He said, stay in that light. And then you will grow in it. When you find light, like we have found light here, when you begin to look for other lights, say, let me do a mix of Pastor Kola and Prophet Toyota. You will just, unknown to you, be bewitched. Praise the Lord. So the question is, what are you looking for? If the word of God does not satisfy you as a believer, you need to think and rethink again. There is an issue. Praise the Lord. So let's get into the word briefly tonight. And you know, when I'm sharing sincerely from the bottom of my heart, I'm just myself, and I'm not trying to impress anybody. I share out of the well of knowledge and the level of knowledge that I am at. I'm not struggling here. I'm not trying to be Pastor Kola. I hope you know. Pastor Kola has the... Some people are laughing at the back as though they know what I want to say. Pastor Kola has the brain of a whole community, of a whole village. You know, people can share a CV and say, give us a portion. You take... Praise God. For me, I'm just trying to be myself. Somebody went to preach. Somebody went to preach in Papa Richard Jaffa's church, a guest minister. So he was, I just noticed that they were not responding like they will respond to Papa. Papa. The man is over 70, he's still shouting at the top of his lungs. You know, I watched him some years ago. He was preaching at the Redemption Camp. And they gave him a corded microphone. I said, who did this wickedness? To restrict him, Papa Orisheja for. So when they noticed he was almost cutting the cord, I think they liberated him. Immediately they gave him a cordless one. The man ran into the crowd and cried and said, you serve a living God. You know how he does. So this guest minister said, gentleman, that was how he started shouting. He just collapsed. He just fainted. Ushers rushed him and started pouring water. True life story. And they were fanning him. Hey-o. Guest minister that came to bless. that came to bless people. Ushers were now blessing him and reviving him. Oh my. Hey. Oh, I beg. May I just share what I have? Pastor will come and say the rest later. Praise the Lord. You know, it's maturity. Some people in the New Testament, which of the church now? I'm for Apollos. I'm for Paul. It's immaturity. Pastor has taught us, when somebody stands before you to bring the word, don't begin to compare. He's not sounding like this person. He's not, what does he have to say? No, you won't get the best out of the person. The word of God is the word of God, even in the mouth of a babe. Are you getting it? And then when you honor that word and you humble yourself, you will be blessed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, so I want to speak on the believer's warfare. The believer's warfare. A lot of us don't understand what the believer's warfare is. Just like we share on the believer's authority. The believer's warfare, the explanation of how God battles, how he battles. We've heard all sorts. We've heard songs like, God of Elijah, send down fire. God of, and he's sweet. He's sweet with those clapping. God of Elijah, send down fire. God of Elijah, send down fire. You know those songs now. You know. Some of those songs are sweet, but they are not gospel music. Praise God. They have God in it. They have Jesus in it. But they are not gospel. They don't depict the gospel of Christ as we know it in this house. If the gospel of Christ is about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, then a gospel song should also be in that direction. So when you hear a song that is depicting God as a killer, that's not gospel. That is trado gospel. Traditional, you know, it's just men's philosophy. Hallelujah. So, the explanation of how God battles or does warfare, the believer's warfare. What exactly is the believer's warfare? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll read from verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll read from verse 3. Okay. So the Bible says, and I quote, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Verse 6 says, "And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Note that the Bible says we do not war after the flesh. Get back to verse 3. "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Just like Bible will say that even though we live in this world, we are not of this world. So even though we walk in the realm of the physical, we do not war, we do not war after the flesh. We don't war like people do in the physical or in the natural. Praise the Lord. We don't fight at the level or the realm or at that level or at that realm of the physical. Not natural or physical fights or battles. Verse 4 says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal." Carnal means physical. So if our battle is our warfare, if our warfare is not physical, if our warfare is not physical, then the weapons of our warfare cannot be physical. Praise the Lord. Did you get that? So it says, rather, they are mighty through God. I need you to take note of those words. You know, a lot of times we muddle up Bible or scriptural interpretation when we read too fast, or we are absent-minded when reading. But when you slow down, and like Pastor says, one of the ways to read the scripture is to read it collectively. Don't read it in isolation. Read it in a context. When you read in a context, you will get what the Bible is saying. So rather it says, they are mighty through God. The weapons of our warfare are not physical. They are not carnal. It says, but mighty through God to the pulling down. What I want you to see there is that they are mighty through God. It has to be through God. And I'm headed somewhere tonight. And I hope I'll be able to wrap that up, you know, in a jiffy. He said, to the pulling down of strong holds. So we don't war after the flesh. To war after the flesh, war the phrase war after the flesh actually means a military campaign. Like you have Operation Thunderstorm. Operation, is it Lafia Dole? Is it Lafia Dole they call it? You know? What does that mean? Lafia means peace. Sorry? Okay, Operation Peace by Force. Amazing. So, the phrase war after the flesh is actually translated from the Greek word. I'll just spell the Greek word. It's spelled S-T-R-A-T-E-U-O-M-A-I, stratemai. And the meaning is actually a military campaign. So, we're talking about the warfare, the believer's warfare. What exactly is the believer's warfare? What exactly is it? Has God called us to, as believers, to lead physical violent protests in the society? Answers. Answers. I just heard somebody say answers. Praise God. And I've heard believers say all kinds of things and all that. For your information, the man called Nnamdi Kanu, you know, and his vision and all that, I've always said it that I don't have an issue with his desires, some of the things he's advocating for. The issue I have is the approach, the way he is going about it. I don't have an issue with the ENSAS movement, even though you will not find me in their midst. And I'll show you, it's part of what we are discussing tonight. You know, whether God will have a believer lead a violent protest. We'll see it. What exactly is God's strategy of causing change or doing warfare? What is his strategy? Praise the Lord. And then we have seen from the scriptures we read, so believers are not permitted to lead or fight physical battles or get involved in a violent protest. If it is peaceful, yes. But then, except you are the one who initiated it and you have full proof control of how it will go, I don't even bother doing it. Because at the end of the day, when funny people takes advantage of it and it becomes violent to the point where people die, you won't be innocent. That's the truth. You won't be innocent. You know, I remember a situation in school where I read mass communication, by the way, and then I was the secretary of a very fierce newspaper on campus. And then we had issues with the school management at some point. And I was even part of the planning committee of the protest. But a day before the protest, I was praying at night and God said, don't join the protest. And thank God I obeyed. I just missed. I mean, they were waiting for me. And I was a pastor on campus. I led a fellowship on campus, you know. But we had certain issues with school management and all that. And we were going, you know, student life now, you know. But then me, I told them, I'm not doing their Luther kind. And they will start singing, Wolewa, Wolewa, Mia Luther. Literally inviting demons. That's the meaning of that song. Enter, enter us. The spirit of a Luther, enter us. And once that spirit enters them, it's destruction. You know, destruction that has nothing to do with what they are demanding for. You know, so at the end of the day, the protest went violent. They slapped one of the major person in school management level. And then they just gathered all the people that came for the... They suspended people that needed to be suspended, and they rusticated people that, you know, needed... The only way I didn't face that judgment was the fact that I didn't appear there. You see obedience? Praise God. So, believers are not permitted, and I choose my words based on some of the scriptures we read earlier. Believers are not permitted to lead or fight physical battles or get involved in violent protests. And please don't tell me about Martin Luther. Don't tell me about some of those guys that have led this protest, that protest. If we have been here for a while, we know, we understand the teachings that God is not found in those strategies. Hallelujah. So remember that God is not revealed in darkness. God is only revealed in light. James 4. James chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 and 2. James chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 and 2. It says, From whence come wars and fightings? I need you to pay attention to this scripture. Amongst you. Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? I'll read that again. Let me read it again. It says, from where does wars and fightings come among you? He said, do they not come out of the lust of your members, the lust of the desires of your heart? Verse 2 says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Hallelujah. So James explains that wars are a product of lust and the desire to have. James explained that wars, battles, warfare are a product of lust and desires to have. Praise the Lord. That's the explanation of what we just read now in James chapter 1, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. So it's important to note that, still following from the scriptures we read in 2 Corinthians, we do not war, we as believers, we do not war after the flesh. So what is the believer's warfare? 1 Peter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter 2, verse 11. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2, verse 11. It says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshy lusts, which war against the soul." The war is against the fleshy lusts, not against human beings or against nations, such as we had Hallelujah. So the war is against the fleshy lusts, not against human beings or nations, like we had it with the Amalekites and the Philistines. These are examples or symbolism of works of the flesh. Hallelujah. Works of the flesh. When a believer takes his warfare to a physical dimension or to the realm of the natural, what you are doing is you are leaving the estate of faith and you are fighting at the level where Hallelujah. Let's read Romans 6:13. Romans 6:13. Romans 6:13.
Unto God as those that are alive, dead, and your members as
righteousness. Hallelujah. So the believer's weapon is righteousness. From what this scripture is saying, the believer's weapon is righteousness. Don't give in to the flesh. Hallelujah. The believer's welfare is done by yielding your members as instrument of righteousness unto God. So what is the believer's warfare? Romans 13:12. The believer's weapon here is righteousness. Romans 13:12 also talks about the believer's weapon. It says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." The armor of light. Armor there can be exchanged with weapon. So the weapon or the warfare of the believer is light. Our weapon is not machete. It's not cutlass. It's not AK-47. Our weapon is light. Our weapon is light. Our weapon is righteousness. Hallelujah. Second Corinthians chapter 6 verse 7. Second Corinthians chapter 6 verse 7. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. Hallelujah. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the hammer of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. So our weapon, our hammer is light. Our weapon, our hammer is righteousness. Our warfare is that of light, is that of righteousness. The Bible says here that by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the hammer of righteousness. So the believer's warfare really is found in the preaching and in the teaching of the word of righteousness. The way God does his warfare is by the unveiling of the gospel of God. I don't know if that connects with what Pastor has been teaching us in the last couple of months. Hallelujah. The way God does his warfare and expects the believer to follow suit after him. You know, in summary, the believer's warfare is that of righteousness. The believer's armory, the believer's weapon, is light. It is righteousness. It is found in the preaching and the teaching of God's word. Hallelujah. Islam conquers by drawing out dagger, drawing out the sword, and says, "Believe in Allah or be killed." That is not the way we do warfare. The way we do warfare as believers is by the unleashing of the word of righteousness. That is what dislodges the darkness in the heart of a man. That is what dislodges the darkness in a community, in a nation. That's what disarms sin. You know, some years ago, and you know, we've been cut off, you know, in some of these things. But you see, from the understanding of scriptures now, we know that even some of the actions of the prophets, they were not permitted by God's Spirit. It was just an action that was born out of the personality of the person in question. When a man of God looks at children who abused him and were laughing at his bowed head and says, "Me, an anointed man, you are laughing at the baldness of my head," and uses his anointing to call forth lions to consume them. And everybody claps out, "Oh, see the mighty display of the power of God." No, God is not found in that action. God is not found in that action. Hallelujah. So, the way we do war is to teach. The way we do war is to preach. The way we do war is to pray. And what do we do when we pray? We release the words of God in prayer. That's the way to do warfare. That's the real warfare. And you know, I like it when Pastor Mike came out on Sunday. You know, he's been sensitive enough to pick what he calls, is it secular something? Sorry? Secular humanism, yeah. When people begin, even Christians, when Christians begin to talk like, "No, don't bring that prayer thing here. We are believers too. Is China praying? Is Japan praying? See the technological development. Is it prayer that we tie our road?" When we begin to talk like that, you have been seduced. You've been bewitched without knowing. You just attended witchcraft coven meeting without even knowing that you were in attendance. And they ministered to you. And you have now become a witness of the gospel of Satan. And Nigeria, don't pray. Don't pray. It's not prayer that we fix it. Nonsense. Just put the right people in the right position. Eh? The right people are in the right position in America. But they are members of Illuminati. They know science. They know all of those things, but they don't know Christ. They are in their parliament, legislative houses, parliamentary houses. They have legislated God out of their nation. Yes, they don't have crime like we have it in Nigeria, but they don't also have God like we have it in Nigeria. And don't get it mixed up. God is not found in the banditry that is going on. I mean, I saw a video, sir, a couple of months ago, and I'm sure some of you must have seen that video, where one foolish guy knelt down, was begging Bishop Oyedepo not to build a 100,000 capacity auditorium. Is it his money? Is something wrong with his head? Say, "Sir, please, sir, I beg you." Did anybody see that video? I mean, it was disgusting to me. I'm a Christian, sir. "Please, sir, we don't need all of those auditoriums. We don't need, just employ people." Is it Bishop Oyedepo's job to employ people? And he even has people in his employment in their thousands. You can almost put him at the level of Dangote in this country. And so sometimes we just get seduced and mix mangoes and oranges together. They are both fruits, but they are not the same. You must learn to separate mangoes and oranges and target their name. The believer's warfare is not in coming down to the level of Satan. He will mess you up. It is Satan that does warfare like that. One of my friends was so hungry, and I've been there too before, with his younger brother that kept bringing somebody home to fornicate with the person. And one of those days, he brought out his bell and said, "I've been preaching to you to be born again. You say you won't born again. Today, I will beat out that fornication in your life." That's not the way to get out fornication from somebody's life. You understand? That's not the warfare. You will beat the person. The person will leave house and take the fornication to the next level, to a brothel. Are you getting it? The way out is still the gospel way. It's still to sit down with the word of God, which is the power of God. You know, the power of God is not displayed in the thunderous, lightning, fire, dramatic nature, you know, as we call it, alagbara biara, the one that is as powerful like the thunder. That same person you are calling as powerful as the thunder, he entered into the womb of Mary. He didn't tear that womb apart. So powerful, but so humble. He didn't. If God had sparked, just one small spark, nobody will be able to pick anything about Mary. He's not only his womb that we tear. He's not only a womb that we tear. You know, and every time I think about that picture in my mind, it just humbles me. It just humbles me. Praise God. The power of God is actually displayed in his love for humanity. His power is displayed in his love for humanity. The warfare of the believer is actually in the word of God. It's in the preaching and the teaching. It's in the unleashing of the light that is found in the gospel. So when people say, don't bring that yeye prayer thing here. Have we not been praying? And really, we have been praying, but you know what? We've been praying amiss. You know, there is prayer and there is prayer. When people gather in their thousands or millions and they are praying, fall down and die, it's missed call. Missed call. Misrepresentation. Those prayers don't work. Those prayers cannot develop a nation. Imagine they gather. Imagine they gather in their millions and they begin to speak right about Nigeria. And they do it consistently for 30 days. Nigeria will sit upright. We can't be wishing Nigeria, we can't have a desire to have a developed nation. And yet we are talking destruction. It doesn't gel. It doesn't gel. Dear believer, don't be caught up in that net. Don't be caught up in it. Don't be caught up in it. So the believer's warfare, is that rain? Wow. The believer's warfare is found in the unleashing of light, the unleashing of righteousness, the unleashing of the word of God. It is found in the preaching and in the teaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. I heard the story of a young boy whom the grandfather had the map of the world on a newspaper, and then wanted to keep him busy. So the grandfather teared the newspaper into shreds and pieces, and then gave it to him like a puzzle and asked him to put it together so that he can have time to do other things. And then within a few minutes, the guy had put the map of the world together. The man was shocked. Said, "How did you achieve it?" He said, "Unknown to the grandfather, there's a picture of a man at the back of the newspaper." So the boy just used his IQ. Rather than looking for Chad and looking for where map of Africa is to assemble, he said, "If I fix the man, I'll fix the world." And that's the way it happens. When the man is fixed with the word of God, the world is fixed. In the words of Miles Monroe, the late Miles Monroe, he said, if you want a brand new nation, you've got to get a brand new people. If you want a brand new people, then you've got to get a brand new mindset also. You know, and to get a brand new mindset, it's predicated on the word of God. Praise the Lord. That's what even transformed the man. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's invite our pastor forward. Oh, as you just wrap up. Okay. Praise the Lord. So, that's the end of mine. That's the end of my teaching tonight. Hallelujah. I hope you picked one or two things from all that, you know, we discussed. Hallelujah. Sorry? There's a question. Okay.
Praise God. First, I want to commend you for all of the things you've said. But then, I have a few questions that are raging in my mind. Can you hear me, sir? Okay, beautiful, sir. I have a few questions in respect of the things that you've just said. And then, I had to ask because it wouldn't sit well with me if I get back home. You know, the whole idea is that a believer's warfare is anchored on teaching and believing of the word of God, and it revolves around the unleashing of the word of righteousness. But then, you know, sometime last month, Pastor was teaching us about giving and receiving, and then he created a distinction. He said believers should not go into, should not give, or rather that the attitude or attribute of a believer towards giving in church or in the place of religious gathering or spiritual gathering is quite different from a believer's attitude in the course of business. So in essence, he was able to create a disparity. The challenge or the question I want to ask is in respect of protest, sir. You know, first, you indicated that believers ought not to go into protest. Violent protest. Okay, violent protest. Now, history and time has also taught us that, also relating it with the secular humanity, has taught us that some demands over time have been able to come to fruition by virtue of the fact that some persons, whether it culminated into violence or it ended peacefully, were able to get demands from the government by speaking out, using both their writings and their physical presence. Now, in the light of all of this, and considering the place we found ourselves first as a nation, do you think docility, and I'm separating docility from prayer now, do you think consistently we've been asked to pray good? I'm being careful so that I will not be, you qualified these as people who have been bewitched, but I'm being careful to say that, yes. See, I'm being careful to say that, don't you think it's a very dangerous state for people who are growing up to watch? Good, some persons are praying. Now, historically speaking, the knights, how they were able to rise up in defense of the faith and other things, were against Turkey and all of those stuff. They stood at some point and then addressed certain issues, whether violently or by the media. So, in the light of the thing that you just taught us now, do you think it would be out of place at some point for whether a believer or even sponsored by believers in their gathering to come up and make demands from the government, and where the government fails to listen, then they can take it to another light?
Praise the Lord. I think you asked the question and you've answered. And I was very careful with the words I used. I'm not against protests. I'm not against the demands. In fact, I remember saying, the man Nnamdi Kanu, I'm not against his demands. I'm only against his approach. And we shouldn't be docile. You use the word docility. We shouldn't be docile. I'm not teaching that at all. You see, you can push your righteousness by faith to the front, and no devil in hell, and human beings included, will be able to resist you. You can. A couple of years ago, my church in Lagos, Daystar Christian Center, my pastor was going to lead. He was just tired of the no light issue, power thing, And then he was going to lead a protest. I mean, we're in our thousands, a church of 40,000 people. I mean, if 40,000, even if half of us just stormed the streets, government, we ask what is happening. So he was going to lead the church in protest. And you know who leads the Star Christian Center? Pastor Sam Adeyemi. But just before he did, he checked with Bishop Oyedepo, who is his mentor. He was going to go about it a different way. But Bishop told him, don't. If you lead your people out in protest against the government, when the thing backfires, even your people will be against you. You will just implode from within. So he went back and did his homework and all that. You remember how we did that protest? We eventually still did it. But how did we do it? We printed t-shirts, let there be light. And then we all wore the t-shirts in our thousands. And we went peacefully. We wrote letters to all the authorities of police force, federal road safety, all of them. We're not causing any issue of traffic on the road and all that. We went peacefully. We walked from our church to Alausa. That was where we were going to deliver a letter. And all the way, our chanting was, let there be light. Let there be light. Was that not the preaching and teaching of the word of righteousness? But you notice, you remember, we passed a place in Ikeja where they sell generators. When we got there, even though we were peaceful and declaring, let there be light, those guys came out after us. They came after us. Hey, what? Which light? And are they crazy? Because they felt if there is light, in fact, by saying let there be light, we were against their business. So, the thing is, you want to be, you don't want Satan to take advantage of you. In the name of, don't be docile. I remember one of the strongest protests of, is it Mahatma Gandhi now, was the fact that he went on hunger strike for days and weeks. And when they saw that this guy was going to commit suicide on the neck of government, they heard him out. You know, and we've heard a number of people take that peaceful. You know, the point is, I'm not saying don't protest. I've qualified it. A believer must not be found in a violent protest. NSAS started well. But you see, at a point, even me, I was praying and I was talking to people that I know that it's time to get off the road. You guys have made your statement. Get off the road and continue your strategy. But unfortunately, it seems the only strategy they had was to get on the road. And after a while, they started disturbing people that were going about their duty peacefully. They started blocking the road. That was when issues went haywire. Well, that was when the protest went haywire. So please don't lose your grip on what the scripture says. You know? And it is not mumucious. Let me borrow that word. It is not mumucious. If not, we will call God mumu. But even the Bible says that the foolishness of God is still wiser than the wisdom of men. If God has chosen to reach out and save man from destruction via the gospel, via his words, via righteousness, then I think we should learn from him. Praise the Lord. I'll just rest it there. If, Pastor, you want to say anything? Pastor is resisting, not talking. Time is fast spent. Let's stand to our feet and thank God for today's meeting and for one or two things that we picked. Let's thank him for his word. Let's give him all the glory and all the praise.